Well, hello everybody, it's Yvonne Silver and welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show, streaming live on BBS Radio from California, and we syndicate to over 100 stations globally. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver, and my mission is uplifting the spirit of humanity. And I do that by showcasing amazing women, such as my guest today, Heather Hanson O'Neill. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here, Yvonne.
And I do that by showcasing amazing women who, as Heather will share, have risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph, a point of chaos to confidence, and have now risen to success and are making a huge contribution in their community and globally. So as a female founder and entrepreneur, if we haven't met yet, and a certified executive coach, chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of people find excellent career choices, and in the past 10 years in particular supported women to excel in their leadership and especially in their confidence. So today I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are ready to expand and flourish in business, to engage their team more authentically, grow their business with ideal clients, have more sales, all leading to a sustainable business that is fun. And I believe that we can, as women, have a balance as female entrepreneurs and be great role models as well for our children. So Heather, welcome to the show. Heather, who I met recently, is an international speaker. She's an author, an adventurer, an entrepreneur, and a philanthropist using her action-packed experience to fire up audiences. So she stimulates vibrant energy, focus, and action for those who want to collaborate effectively to lead change and achieve massive results. And Heather is also the leader for the Find Your Fire podcast, which I was a lovely opportunity recently to be interviewed on your podcast as well. So welcome, Heather.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. It's a pleasure to be here. I love your mission. I love how much you're uplifting women and glad to be a small part of it.
Well, I think today you're going to be a big part of it. You are my special guest today. Now, you have a really interesting background. So I'm always interested to hear about the early lives and to hear about, you know, what's the story? What is it that drives you to doing the work that you do? How did that passion get started?
Oh, goodness. We're going way back, Yvonne. I've been fairly passionate for a very long time. Yeah. I had the great gift and pleasure of doing my joy from a very young age. I used to be a professional dancer. I have loved it since the moment I started. And I was very grateful to be able to become a professional dancer at 13. So they would actually take me out of my school and pay me to go dance at other schools and travel around. It was a life that was fabulous. And it's interesting how life works out. You'll hear, if you listen to my story long enough, there's definitely a theme, but the theme happens to be adaptation and transition. So I guess that's why I spend so much time helping people with that now. So the positive part of it was that I got to do what I love. And I know that not a lot of people can say that they got to live the life that they loved. And so I am unbelievably grateful for that. And so what I did, though, was I was, at the same time that I was offered several college scholarships, I was offered some professional dance positions. And I went that route, much to the chagrin of most of the adults in my life at the time. But I'm glad that I followed my heart, because I was able to have an amazing career. It was outstanding. But then, kind of at the height of my career, I ended up injuring myself. And a doctor told me that I would never dance again. And that is that plummeting of the roller coaster, and went through a little bit of what I call my dark years, where I was just devastated. But I kind of picked myself up each day, and I went back to college, but I ended up having to pay for it myself. But I knew that I would do that. I had a faith in myself at a young age, contrary to what I may hear around me. And I think that that's really important, that we as women cultivate that inner voice. And there is an inner voice, and it's there all the time, but we're not always conscious of what it is. And sometimes it's kind of mean to us. I don't know if you've experienced this. I know from time to time I've experienced this, where if I make a mistake or I fail at something, my inner voice is highly critical. But I also have a really strong heart inner voice that comes out and says, get up, do it again. Get up, do it again. Keep moving forward. And so I like to share the stories of falling down, because it's really the story of getting back up again. So mm-hmm. I went back to school. I went into sales. And then I had a wonderful mentor who told me I just had to start my own business. I had no examples of entrepreneurship when I was growing up. But he said, if you do it, I'll be your first paying client. If you do a great job, I'll tell everybody. If you do a terrible job, I won't tell anybody. So I had to do it. And so, you know, since then, it's been a wonderful, beautiful roller coaster ride of evolving my business that I've had over 20 years now.
Wow. So what is the business all about? Just let's set the context.
Okay. So right at this moment, it's different than what it was when it started, because transition is the theme, right?
Evolution,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So when I started traveling a lot and helping with training and development in the areas of sales and customer service. And it just took off like crazy because of my mentor. But then when I decided that I wanted to have a family, there was so much travel, I wanted to kind of rein that in. So I went back for my coaching certification and started to coach my clients virtually so that I didn't have to travel as much. Right. Started the family. And during the coaching, I came to realize that so many of my executive clients had this same challenge, this human element of not really following their dreams, not really knowing what it is in their heart that they were supposed to do, because they just followed someone else's path, someone mm-hmm. else's, you know, their dream for them, instead of cultivating their own and listening to what they wanted. And so that's when I started writing my books and then starting to do more of the keynote speaking. So right now, if we weren't in the current situation right now, I would be on a stage somewhere speaking to a large audience. But most of it has transitioned to virtual, another transition. So it's the story. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. So with the customer service and sales, you know, that in particular is such an important piece. So before we sort of skip over that part, tell me about some of the myths that you learn in customer service, because that touches everybody right now. We're all pivoting. We're trying to make sure our businesses are either working differently or different phases of relaunch in different parts of the country. I'm in Calgary, Canada, and you're
in Connecticut.
Yeah. So yes. we're in different phases probably, but
mm-hmm. It's very important to go back to that level of service. I think that in the world we were in, I don't think we even realized how good we had it until right now, because it was booming. Everything was booming. The industry, well, my industry, the event industry, was just, it was amazing. And so to go from that to plummeting, like we're not allowed to meet, right? And so what do we have to do? We have to pivot. You mentioned that word, right? So we have to change the way that we do business. But what part of that change is going back to the foundation of who we are and how we serve. And it's part of what I loved about your mission, is that element of service, right? And so I think that when you're asking me about customer service and what are the, you know, most important things, is just to recognize that the service is for them. It's mm-hmm. it's for your clients. It's for your prospect. It's for your family, your community, the world. I mean, we are serving something bigger. Most of the people out there that are listening right now are serving something bigger than themselves, and they may not even realize it because their voice is touching people who are touching people who are touching people. And mm-hmm. so we need to recognize that every action that we take in service of our clients or in service of people who even aren't our clients, mm-hmm. just in service to the world, makes such a tremendous impact. It really yeah. does.
Yeah. I was actually listening to, I think it was an Evolutionary Business Council podcast mm-hmm. just recently, or internal training just recently. And it was Dame Doria Cordova that was talking. Yeah. And lovely lady. I'm hoping that I'll be able to have the opportunity to interview her on the podcast sometime soon. Mm-hmm. And the comment was around, you know, if you make an impact and you're touching one person, that can have a ripple that can impact up to 360,000 people.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that number. I'm writing it down. It's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. I mean, yeah, that's a big number. And obviously, we're both working in the transformation space. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're public speaking, you never know who's sitting in the audience, what element of your messaging they're going to take away, implement, and then that will definitely have a ripple. Mm-hmm. And you know, one piece of information, this is what I love about the radio shows and the podcasting and sharing information in my book and in my coaching programs, is that one piece of information can literally change the direction of someone's life. One of my colleagues that we're actually building an alliance partnership around the certification of mentorship, he says, you know, he's the founder for MentorCloud in Silicon Valley. He said, you know, in a mentoring conversation, one conversation can change the direction of someone's career.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, so important to have these conversations. You were talking about being a dancer, and I had this flashback of one of my favorite photographs of me. I think I'm 5, standing in my mom's garden in a tutu.
Oh, that's
However,
fabulous.
It was not destined to be that I was a dancer. Choreography, you know, even doing something like, you know, jazz yoga, I'm not good at following other people's steps. I just need to be the pioneer.
That doesn't surprise me, Yvonne. You're a pioneer. You don't need to follow someone else's steps. Make your own. Create your own music.
Well, my body just doesn't want to do it.
Well, funny story about the tutu, Yvonne. I just recently asked for a gift, a tutu and a tiara. I said, I think these times call for a tutu and a tiara. I would like one, please.
Well, I just interviewed, again, another EBC member. I have lots of friends in EBC. It's such a great group,
wonderful
Evolutionary
group.
Business Council. Yvonne Heath. And it was hilarious because, you know, you keep saying, hello, Yvonne. And it sounded so weird in my head being an Yvonne. But she does some sessions every Friday, Facebook Lives, and she's dressed up in unicorn suits and all kinds of other funny things.
Fabulous.
Which is great for these times, I think.
Yes.
Especially, you know, we're starting in Calgary, we're starting to relaunch now. We've got restaurants opening up this weekend, and they're going to still be 50% capacity, social distancing. But we need to have those moments of levity to break the, you know, break the despair that some people are feeling. Now, I'm lucky enough that for me, I do a lot of work online already, so it wasn't as big of a switch. But certainly that whole concept of regulating your self-talk, so, so important. I have a whole chapter on that in my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. I call it Eliminating Negative Nelly Conversations. So on that note, you know, what would be some of your top tips that you would give to your clients around managing their self-talk in a more positive way?
Well, I think the first thing is to be aware of it. I believe that most people would be appalled if they were aware of how often they do it. And So the first step is to track it and to, you know, even, you know, get a little notepad and just check off each time you're saying, or if there's a pattern of what you're saying. And then the next step, let's say you do that for a week. And then the next step is to stop yourself, right? Let's say you start to say, oh, no, I'm not an idiot. No, that was just a mistake, right? Just stop yourself, because we say these things and they just flow. They flow because we have so many thoughts, right? And then the third week, replace it with something else.
Right.
And you literally stop it in the tracks and say, you know what? I'm a very intelligent woman and I'm strong and resilient and I can make a great decision from this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever it is, you replace it with something else. But you can't do any of that if you don't have the awareness piece, if you don't even know what it is that is incessantly flowing through your brain.
Yeah. Well, that's fairly typical. I think we, as you know, both being coaches, we can talk about this, this element that, you know, if you're unconscious about the topic, then nothing's going to happen. There will be no change. So right. The self-awareness piece and noticing is so key. First of all, love the piece about tracking it in a notebook. I mean, I certainly have my journal that's open every day with, you know, gratitudes that start in the morning as part of a meditation practice, and then continuing on with learnings for each of the calls that I have. And so important. And it's also about being able to leverage the 24 hours that we have in every day with higher value activities that nourish our soul, or that in this case, show how we can be kinder to ourselves. And you're right, women, I hear the same thing a lot from some of my clients. Women tend to be very critical of themselves. And I don't know where that comes from. Could be, if I think about some of the references in my book, it could have been, you know, going back to wanting to be good little girls for, you know, yes, to be liked by dad or whatever it was,
mm-hmm,
wanting to please other people. And yet it's so powerful if you can catch it early and find a mechanism that works for you so that you're not dragging yourself down and then you spiral.
Yeah. Right. And because it's not just that moment of that thought. It's everything that happens after that thought. That thought leads to a belief, and that belief leads to a decision, and that decision leads to an action. And so ultimately, in being aware of that thought, you have the capacity to change your habits and patterns. And when you say, I'm not sure where it comes from, that's what I have been spending for the last year. I'm with you. And I was trying to figure it out, but I spent the last year researching, and it's what my upcoming TED Talk is going to be about, is about these patterns that have been brought down from generation to generation and with the best of intention. And so it could be as large as bias, violence. There's a lot of things that have been sent down from generation to generation, and it comes from beliefs. Mm-hmm. And simply passing something along without looking at it, without that conscious awareness that we were just talking about, right? But when you are the one to stop the pattern and to look at it and say, okay, well, this one's good. This belief is good. This is serving me and others. Let's keep this one. But this one over here, this is tearing people down. This is judging people. This is making an assumption about the world that simply isn't true. And so I need to change this one. And to choose, we have the choice. And that is one of the most freeing and powerful things that a person can do, because you're not just changing you, you're changing the lives of people around you right now as well. If you are a parent or in any capacity impacting people, you are changing future generations.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. And it's that point of realization that we are always in choice,
yes,
even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Mm-hmm. We're always in choice. You know, we can be aware of, if we take this action, that there are certain likelihood of certain things happening, consequences,
mm-hmm,
or we can keep doing what we're doing. But if there is no change up here, then there will be no change.
Yes, exactly. You got it.
Yeah. It's important work. And certainly I hear also a lot from, I have a couple of different programs that are helping women to find their passion again. You know, looking at, you know, where do they find moments of joy? What are some of the things that they're super proud of that they need to reflect on? And then once you have those pieces, go find more. You know, where can you have more joy in the day? Where can you have more moments that you're feeling that element of pride? And I loved what you shared earlier on about a purpose bigger than yourself. Thinking about, you know, when I was reading many years ago, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, that was one of those three highlights, wasn't it? Of, you know, what's the real purpose behind having a meaningful life? And being in a concentration camp for many, many years, he had a lot of time to think about what is meaningful. And certainly when it comes to having a passion, serving the community, having that purpose that's greater than ourselves is really, I think, really so important. I mean, for every book that is sold, I donate one to a women's shelter, foundation, or not-for-profit. I mean, I do them in stacks of 10, not just one by one by one.
Right.
But that nourishes my soul to be gifting a stack of books, knowing that the women that are going to be receiving those in a shelter or foundation situation, they really need right now to have one or two words, even if they take one or two words out of the 40 in the book and implement them, it can make a massive difference. And again, it puts the awareness on, what am I saying? What are some of those words? Just one, like just, for example, one word can disempower the whole sentence, depending on how it's used, versus having, you know, but, and switching that out for and, or switching should for could. It has a whole different energy around the language and the purpose and the intention of the sentence. So,
and you, I'm going to pull out two words that you just said. You said, it nourishes my soul, right? And then you said, it shifts the energy. And I think that right there, it sums up everything to do with what I was trying to portray, is that if any of your viewers are feeling tired or uncertain or fearful, the best, fastest way to shift their energy into a state of confidence and love and generosity, it comes from thinking beyond self.
Yeah. Being in gratitude, powerful, yes. Powerful practice. And yet it's so fundamental. And I still know many, many people who are surprised when we talk about, you know, switching things up and just, you know, stop. Think about what you're grateful for that's already happened that day or yesterday. And it's such a simple thing, and yet it's so, so powerful. I don't know if you knew that I was trained in Reiki. So I bring that into the work that I do. But this whole shift of energy is just so, so important.
Yes.
So when you're working with executives and they are talking about their work, what are some of the first signs for you, the clues that you hear in them, what they're sharing, that they need to step into something completely different to really be firing up their passion again?
Oh, what a beautiful question. I think that there's a couple of different parts of it. For me, I'm an empath, and so I pick up on energy very, very strongly. So that may come to me from their body language, if we're even in a Zoom call, or if we can't do it in person, but in person is excellent. But I can catch the energy through something like this. Their tone of voice screams to me, I need change. And even if the words they're saying of, yeah, I'm satisfied.
Satisfied? That's not a great word.
But you know, I mean, if we're talking about satisfaction, like, I don't know, even if the word is okay, the tone will scream, ask another question. dive deeper. And then the words, which is where your expertise with the words and your book and everything come into play, are incredibly powerful. If they're using words that restrain them, if they're using words that disempower them, or if they're using negativity toward others in an excessive way, and to me, virtually any negativity toward others is excessive because we don't need to do that. Why do we need to put that out into the world? But there's so many different ways that we can pick up on that. And it's so obvious to me as to what I'm looking for and what I need to ask to go deeper, because it's not always as obvious to them because mm-hmm. they've been living it and justifying it for yeah. so many years. Do you know how many people come to me in their late 40s and 50s who say, you know, I've been in this career for 25, 30 years and finally admit I don't like it. It's not me. You know, I hate it here, right? And it's just, to me, it's like I've cut their chains. So just by making them aware of a joy that they had when they were younger, of a passion, of an inner drive, of that inner fire. I'm all about the fire, so I've got to throw that in there, right? That has always been there. And it just needs to be fanned a little bit. And acknowledged and built up and ignited so that you can be a light to others. It all ties together.
Yeah, it's so, so important. And the piece about, you know, lighting the fire, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight unless it's a lightning strike. It takes nurturing, it takes kindling, it mm-hmm. takes, you know, lightly blowing, if we think yes, about yes, when yes. you go camping, right? Mm-hmm. How you get your fire started. I think what's interesting is if I reflect back with some of my experiences, I spent about 4 years working as a VP in a career transition firm. Mm-hmm. It was actually a global talent management organization. A lot of their work, though, was career transition. And it was so interesting to hear when someone had been eliminated or their job had been eliminated from the organization, all of a sudden they had this triggering event that was done to them
yes.
that they had no control over because they didn't see it coming. They didn't expect it. How different the energy is in that circumstance to someone who's making the choice mm-hmm. that they are now going to start exploring something better that's more of a passion for them, that's more fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And so they have to go through that dip first, the strong model where it's shock, anger, denial, and then they get to the bottom of the dip before they can actually start to sort of feel like there's enough wallowing going on. Now it's time to get into self-acceptance and finally into action again.
Right.
As opposed to someone who's choosing because they're fully employed right now. They're not happy, but they know that there's something better out there. It's so interesting how it very often is a triggering event.
Yes.
That causes them to sort of wake up.
Yes.
And sometimes it's a job loss. Sometimes it's a birthday with a zero on the end. It could be a divorce. It could be, you know, someone passing away in their family. You know, what are some of the points that people can look out for that you've seen as well to really, really wake people up that are listening to this call that maybe are sitting there thinking, yeah, I'm really not that happy in my job. I'm not sure if I'm going to make a move right now because I have a job and the economy mm-hmm. is in flux in so many areas, but I'm not really happy. What would be their first couple of steps you would recommend?
Okay, I promise to come back to that. But I want to just touch on something that you made me think of right now. And that is that those moments when there's that wake up, that external, you know, I didn't know this was happening, I lost my job, or something happened, what they perceived to them.
Right.
Every 100% of my clients who came to me in that state of, OMG, what am I going to do, have come back and said that was the best thing that ever happened to me. And yep. I need to bring that up because right now there is a lot of that going on. There is a lot of fear and uncertainty based on things that people don't have control over.
Right.
And so I think that when we can take a step back from the emotion of it and look at how it could be an opportunity and seek out the options, it will be okay. Because yeah. Everything happens for a reason. And even if it's seen as if it's happening to you, maybe it's happening for you. And when you can take a moment away from the angst of it and then take your power back and say, okay, well, this happened to me. However, I can do this, this, and this with it and right. make the shift and make the change and make it better. There is so much power right now that people are just kind of dipping their toe in. And I'm going to tell you to dive into it. Dive into it. And so now to get back to your question about, you know, what people can start to think about, when people are comfortable, meaning that they have that job, and maybe they see somebody else who doesn't have that job. And so they don't like it. They're not happy, but they have a job, right? Or same thing with a relationship. I'm in an okay relationship. It's not all I had wanted, but it's okay. Like these are states that I think are hugely detrimental, because that feeling of comfort keeps you from becoming, from taking actions to become and to create the life that you are supposed to live, that you have the capacity, the potential to live. And so I would just encourage you, if you're feeling super comfortable but not really happy, to at least take steps to explore that inner voice of what is it that you really want. Do some journaling, do some meditating, get out and walk in nature, because it just sparks that creative energy for people, and find it. And once you get it, once you find that purpose, and there's a lot of other things that we can do, but we don't even have like 4 hours to get into it. But
those are some, a whole day on that.
Yeah, we totally could. But we're just, you know, planting some seeds of some easy ones, the journaling, the meditation, a little yoga, walk in nature. These are simple. You can do these things. But once you start to feel it, you won't be able to quiet the voice. And it will wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, what about this?
Yeah. Ceridian cycles, right? Three and four in the morning, things will wake you up, because it's time to take notice of it. And I also saw what you've seen too, working for that career transition firm. You know, countless times I had people, when I would sit across from them to be supporting them just after they'd been told their job's been eliminated, and my role was to come in afterwards and spend the next, you know, half hour, hour, whatever they needed with them to help them see that there was in fact something else for them. What were the next immediate steps today? What were they going to be doing tomorrow? You know, don't pick up the phone and start calling everybody and letting them know yet, because there's no point. You're going to have to call them back in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks when you got it figured out. What is your next opportunity? And the first thing people are always going to say is, oh my God, well, what are you going to do now? And if you have this depressing, oh, I have no idea, next time you phone, they're probably not going to want to pick up the phone because you're so negative. So don't start calling people. Just wait until you've got your thoughts together, and then you can say, you know, I wanted to reach out because I'm exploring new opportunities, and I really wanted your perspective on X, Y, Z, and I'm really excited to actually have this opportunity of exploring what I'm passionate about. You don't have to say anything right away. So, you know, don't go scurrying off creating activity that's not going to support you. And then 3 months later, they would be, I would see them bouncing down the hall, and they'd say, oh yeah, I just landed a new job. It's fantastic. I'm so excited. It's so much better than the last job I had. It was a gift, right? Lemon to lemonade.
It's fabulous. I love those stories.
Yeah, me too. So first steps, you pointed out some of those. Tell me a little bit about your TED Talk coming up. I'm curious about that. What's the topic? Are you able to share a little?
Sure. Technically, it was supposed to take place 2 weeks ago.
Of course. Yeah, the universe and the social distancing.
But you know what's really interesting? Everything happens for a reason. And so yep. I was super disappointed because I thought I was ready. And then I had this flash of insight of something to add to it that happened after when I was supposed to do it. And I'm like, this is good. This is so much better that it's waiting. So it's actually happening in the fall. I did a TED Talk in 2011 on letting go. And great fun doing it, but I had no clue what I, meaning like I didn't really know what you were supposed to do for a TED Talk, you know, and afterward I heard about everybody, how much time they put into it. I'm like, ooh, yeah, I probably should have put more time into it. So I'm determined to put more time into this one. Not that the first one was bad. It was just, you know, precursor. So this one though, I'm really excited because it is bigger. It's bigger than me, way bigger than me. But I've done a lot of research on it. I'm really excited about it. I have a lot of validation from external sources. I have a strong belief. I've seen it work in my life. And it has to do with the shift that we make in a consciousness to break that pattern, to stop the endless flow of negativity from generation to generation that impacts people in a way that harms them very deeply. And so if we can, there are certain things that we can do, and I'm going to share them in the fall and I'll come back and let you know about it. There are certain things that we can do to shift the patterns and to be able to share that and bring that into the world and make an incredible difference in the world. And it's really exciting to me.
Oh, well, I can't wait to hear more about it. So you have a new date?
The last email that I got from the TED crew is they said it will be in September. And we'll be giving you a date soon. That's what I know. Like, all right, I'm ready.
Okay. So how have these various experiences, you know, helping others, yourself, you know, going through having that challenge at the height of your dancing career, how have some of these experiences shaped your wisdom, in particular about resilience in women? Mm-hmm.
Really good question. I think that we are far stronger than we know we are. And that unfortunately, that's not proven to us until difficulty and challenge occurs. And so there's this transformation that occurs in many women. And I didn't realize it until I went through it. You know how it is? Like you don't really yep. realize it. But women who are of, you know, this age where we are now, right? We have learned that it's not about being competitive. It is about an abundant world. It is about leading with our hearts and sharing and giving and lifting up other women. And it came from being challenged and having someone further along the path lift us up. And for me, that's happened. Bless you, I saw it coming. You were trying so hard to hold it back.
This is a live show. Things can happen.
So bless you. But I think that if we can think about, and I do these hammock musings. I get my best ideas in the hammock. So just recently this week, it came to me that everyone has a story of a challenge that they've gone through. And they can look back on now and say, oh my gosh, I learned so much. I grew so much. I did this. I learned this. And everybody has that story. So what if we could, right in the moment of the challenge, find the lesson? Why wait years to find the lesson? How much different would our lives be? How much less stress would there be? How much faster would we be able to pick ourselves up and be able to share that lesson with someone else and make an impact. That mm-hmm. ripple effect you were talking about, Yvonne, right? And so I'm thinking about how we can, do the same steps that we do over the 10 years of learning really quickly. Really quickly. So that we can get to the rising faster. I mean, rising. So I have a Phoenix program coming up, and it's about the fire, right? But this is about rising from the ashes. And it's about learning how to pull out of yourself all of the power and the resilience and the creativity and the wisdom that we have. We have all of this inside of us, and we always have, to some degree, had way more inside of us than we knew. But to be able to know what steps to take, to have an actual framework to follow, to be able to transition better and faster to that place that we want to become who we were meant to be.
Mm. So any tips that you're able to share outside of that program in terms of how do we do it faster?
Well, owning what you control. Right. You know, there's an epidemic out there of passing the buck and, allowing external situations to impact our emotional state and our ability to take action. And there's great power in owning what you control, right, and moving forward in that. Because when we're in a state of fear, and transition brings fear, change brings fear, when we're in a state of fear, we get stuck. And we become immobilized. And movement is what generates energy and shifts patterns and behaviors. So you need to move the body. And we need to consciously do that. So it's a combination. For me, it's very cyclical to, I've always known as a dancer that shifting my body impacts my state. Right. And I know now as a coach that shifting your mind impacts your body. But the real power in this comes in recognizing the cyclical nature of the holistic part of doing both all the time. And so I would say for people, be present in the moment, learn your lessons as they're happening, be accepting of what is, while owning what you can do about it, and then keep moving forward so that you can make that difference.
Yeah. Well, I truly believe that, we don't always have to see completely the whole journey laid mm-hmm. out. As long as we have the destination and we just know what the next one step is. I can't remember if it was Oprah who first planted this concept in my head, that the rest of the steps will show up. The universe will show you what the next step is. My challenge is sometimes that I'm too impatient. I'm like, yes, okay, let me go. Show me the next step. Like, show me now.
Well, that is one way that we're definitely, we have a common thread there, because I tend to run on the impetuous side as well. Let's do it. Let's go. But it will happen. When you're that type of person and you're willing to take action despite fear, and you're willing to move through it, the doors open, the opportunities arise. And as long as your eyes are open to be able to see them, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really important. You talked about, the head and the body connection, mm-hmm. acknowledging that, very often we initially imagine that it's the thought that's driving the bodily function and the energy, whereas watching the Power of the Heart movie helped me to see that it's actually the other way around. It's your body, your gut and your heart that will send the message, the chemical message, to your brain, and that's what causes you to take action in a certain way. So emotion, right, in your body is telling you something. So we do need to pay attention. Do we have a lump in our throat? Do we have a knot in our stomach? Are we feeling prickles all over? Do we have a headache? Whatever it is, that is emotion. It's energy and in motion that's coming up for a reason. So taking that time to acknowledge and sit with it and not try and just shove it down and say, oh, well, what the heck is that? But sit with the energy until it dissipates and then go back afterwards and reflect on what just happened, what was happening right before I felt those feelings, and what can I take away from that? What was necessarily a trigger that was coming up for me, and what do I need to learn from it? So I'm really excited to hear that you're taking your learnings in this area and developing this program, this Phoenix program. So how can people find out more about that and more about you? What's the best place to go?
Okay, well, I guess you can find me. My website is heatherhansononeal.com. Heather@heatherhansononeal.com is my email. The program is called The Phoenix. I'm actually launching for founding members. I am looking right now for a very small group of passionate people who want to go through this process of evolution, of evolving themselves while also simultaneously creating a community that can impact the industry, the of events and influencing. So we're going to be doing both at the same time. So right now I'm in the midst of it. So if you are someone who is in the event or influencing arena and are passionate about bringing it back and you want that inner fire for yourself to clearly see your next steps, then this could be a really amazing opportunity for us to work together. So reach out to me. I do also have a free gift.
Oh, lovely.
So, yeah, it's called The Top 10 Actions to Increase Energy and Results. So it's really fun, easy PDF that gives you the actions that will, you know, to motivate the body that will change your state and be able to help you move forward and get better results. And it's free. So I have a link. Maybe you can put it in the show notes for you. It, top 10 is, yeah. But okay.
And it's top 10. Tips.
Top 10 actions to increase energy and results.
Great. Well, thank you. I always love having gifts from my guests. That's extremely generous. Thank you so much
for doing that,
Heather. So when it comes to the women on my show, typically I'm really intrigued to interview those that have not just been through that journey and developed their resilience and are now doing really intriguing work, celebrating the wisdom that they've learned along the way and imparting that to other people, but also what they're sharing with the community. So do you have a passion, a social enterprise passion, or some community work that you also wanted to talk about today?
Sure. Well, in the Phoenix program, we're actually going to be collaborating to create a scholarship part. But I do a lot with students. I have a program that I developed called L Focus, which is leadership for our children's ultimate success. And it's helping them to get the skills that they need that are lacking right now. So it is the resilience and the leadership, the ability to communicate effectively. And so I actually went to the businesses and said, you know what? What do you want in new hires and what is missing? And they're like, well, this and this, you know, the ability to come in and be confident in themselves and look me in the eye and shake my hand and be able to go run with an idea and be a leader and inspire other people. And so we take all of these suggestions and we teach them to the students in underserved areas so that they can get a step up to thrive in business today. And so I'm super passionate about this. I have an amazing advisory board that has been doing extraordinary work on that area.
Well, what a fantastic initiative. And then because of the work you're doing with the leaders in the organizations, hopefully the other piece to connect to that is giving them the leadership skills or helping them evolve their leadership skills so that they can create the culture that will be embracing of these new recruits coming with all this energy and hope, and they're being put into an environment where they can actually see that flourish because it's a perfect petri dish.
Exactly. That is the goal, to connect the right puzzle pieces.
Lovely. Well, I really have enjoyed chatting today, Heather. Thank you so much for sharing many of your insights, much of your wisdom. And I love your passion for helping others to find that inner fire again. And I look forward to hearing more about the TED Talk as that is announced and your Phoenix project. So I encourage you to reach out to Heather if you're intrigued to hear more about that. It is for a very small group, as she says, at this point in time. And if you're intrigued to learn more about the work that I'm doing as well, you can go to my website and download a free 3-chapter excerpt of my best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And that is at www.wordswomenandwisdom.com. And it's spelled out A-N-D in the middle, wordswomenandwisdom.com. And then just click that and you'll be invited to join the Women and Wisdom VIP community. And then you'll hear more about who's coming up on my show for guests and what wisdom they're bringing with them and able to share. So thank you, Heather. I wish you a beautiful day. And thank you again for being my guest today.
It's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you. Take care.
Beautiful day. Bye for now.